Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, here live in the remote studio. We got the local, state, the federal covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to Tuesday after a three-day weekend. Good to be with you guys. I hope y'all are doing well. You may have caught the fact that I just said from a remote studio. I had the honor of speaking to the Republican women of Huntsville today. Just a great, great time up at the Ledges in Southeast Huntsville, and just what a great crowd. I mean, just awesome time. Anyway, we got a great show laid on for you today. I'm excited to be back in the studio, and JP is on the board. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing good. After a long weekend, feeling refreshed.
A long weekend, all the sports you could possibly muster, right?
Yep, pretty much. Pretty much.
Good deal. All right. Well, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. So coming up today, this is going to be a family affair. All right. Some of y'all already know JP's my nephew. How good is that? But JP's dad is, I'm sitting here working on a clip today, a segment, a dipper. And I thought, wait a minute, I know somebody who can speak to that better than I can. So we're going to have JP's dad, my brother, who is a professional counselor, on at 3 o'clock to talk about liberals' inability to cope with the election. So I'm looking forward to having Brother Charles coming on today at 3 o'clock. And then at 3:30 p.m. today, we got U.S. Congressman Dale Strong calling in, giving us his thoughts about where things are, where we're headed, and what it's like up in D.C. right now in the wake of one of the greatest elections in modern history. So yes, 3:30 p.m., Congressman Dale Strong. And then I still got a whole triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So JP, I'm calling an audible. I'm going to move the order a little bit. You can change it around on the board. But number one out the gate is going to be coping skills. Yeah, coping skills. Like, do we know what is going to happen with all these libs whose heads are exploding right now? I mean, they're having therapy goats and milk and cookies and God knows what. Coping skills. We're going to talk about liberal coping skills as number one on the triple dipper. Number two, we're going to dive right into the latest developments on the border wars. Our southern border is one of the chief reasons why the election went the way it did. And we're going to talk about some changes to include the fact that Donald Trump has now named his border czar and his next director of Homeland Security. I'm pretty stoked about both. So border wars, that's number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, you may recall that multiple times in the past several years, I have done a segment, a dipper, and called it National Insecurity. National Insecurity. Today, I'm going to change the name to National Security. We're going to talk about the why and the wherefore of what we're looking at in terms of the next round of making our nation secure. And I'm pretty stoked about it. So national security is what I'm calling dipper number three. All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way monologue. And I'll just tell you, it's Veterans Day was good. I mean, first of all, I hope that all of y'all had an opportunity to be together, to do something, to have a little extra time off, to spend that time doing something that, you know, that pleases you. But I hope somewhere in the mix, you were mindful of the fact that veterans made that possible. And if you had an opportunity, I hope you thanked a veteran for their service. But yeah, yesterday was Veterans Day. So thank you to all of you from us, all of you and yours who have chosen to serve our great nation. And I'm mindful, y'all, that we are about to have a new commander-in-chief. Sort of. I mean, Donald Trump takes office. This is a case of old boss is now the new boss, but I, for one, am glad. Any of you who have listened to this show for a bit, you know that the military has been a huge part of my life. It's generational. In my family, I mean, I've got my great-grandfather's discharge certificate from World War I at home. On a shelf in my study, I have my grandfather's general officer's pistol in a shadow box. On the wall hanging nearby, I have a Bowie knife that my father carried in Vietnam. On the floor of the same room, I have a rug that I brought home from Afghanistan. In a frame, I have a picture of me pinning jump wings on my own son. All of these are symbols of my appreciation for the life that God has given and the choice that made by so many in my family to serve in uniform. Having said all that, I believe that also means that I've earned the right to say that I'm ready to see the U.S. military restored to its former overwhelming capability. Now, I heard a story once about Tiger Woods. He was hitting balls on a driving range, and a man watching him made the remark, "Oh, I wish I could hit him like that." And allegedly, Tiger Woods responded with, "No, you don't. Because if you did, you'd be up at the crack of dawn hitting 10 buckets of balls before breakfast. I mean, sure, Tiger Woods had natural abilities, but he also honed those abilities with long hours and muscle memory. It paid off. But it brings up the old axiom, that a saying that rings true no matter what time or era we live in. The phrase is, train like you fight so you can fight like you train. And I'll add to that we must train to fight so we can fight to win. Muhammad Ali, for all of his warts and blemishes and controversies, he was also a world champion who knew this to be true. When questioned about his own intensive daily training regimen, Ali once responded, "I hated every minute of training," he said. "But I don't quit. I suffer now and I live the rest of you suffer now and you live the rest of your life as a champion." Ali, like other athletes and non-athletes for that matter, they knew that in order to excel in the outcome, you must train and train and train some more. People who excel know that life rarely works out with excellence for those who just wing it. I mean, don't get me wrong. God can step in and intervene in a way that nobody expects and snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. But absent those miraculous moments, we are also called by God to be good stewards of our talents and gifts and possessions and opportunities, which means we have to invest them or train them. So in the heat of battle, we are most ready. Not a little bit ready, not sort of ready, but most ready. So thinking back to the military. In the military, this adage comes true in so many ways. I mean, you know, take your weapons training, for instance. So much of what you're capable of doing on the field of battle with your assigned weapon is a function of your time spent in training. Can you clear a stoppage or re-engage after a malfunction? What amount of time does it take for you to change your magazines for a reload? Can you break it down quickly and efficiently and reassemble it in short order? All of that training takes place before you ever move to a live-fire range to actually learn to put rounds on target. Why? Because we have to teach soldiers to train like they fight. If a soldier can clear a stoppage without thinking about it, if he can change out his magazine without taking his eyes off the target, if he can reassemble his weapon blindfolded in training, then he'll be able to do it in a dark foxhole in the middle of the night. Same is true for missions. There's a phrase that's so often heard that is, once you're in planning, your planning is complete with leaders giving 2/3 of the planning time to their subordinates, the unit then moves to its rehearsals. The mission's coming up, but the old rule is if you rush for time, at a minimum, you always practice the actions on the objective. What that means is that the key moments of any mission, they're often the most dangerous. But they must not only be thought through, they must be walked through, run through, rethought, and walked through and run through again, and if necessary, again, and if necessary, again and again, until every member of the team knows their role and the role of every other team member, because you train like you fight and you fight to win. The same is true for anything else. I mean, look at football. You're going to find the individual and team drills from basic skills to full-on integrated execution of the most complicated plays. They were all practiced and practiced and practiced before they ever took the field on game day. But in the military, it does go a step further. This is important. Here's where I'm getting to my point. In the military, the idea of that kind of training goes a step further because the stakes are so much higher. In the military, we're not just training for a medal, training to win a game or a resume builder. We're training soldiers to win on the field of battle where lives are at stake and national security is the outcome. And there are amazing soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines guarding our nation's interests, but their ranks have been depleted over the last 4 years, depleted by feckless leadership who implemented woke policies and misguided vaccine mandates and pushed false narratives of extremism and racism permeating the honored ranks of our men and women. Men and women who stand next to each other, by the way, regardless of skin color. Mission posture has been degraded by shifting focus of key leaders away from actual enemies on the world stage, demanding that we focus our military instead on distracting social experimentation. Activism, like the Pentagon naming climate change as the existential threat to be addressed by the DOD. Or mandating the implementation of liberal, progressive, diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in recruiting and retention, while moving away from the actual meritocracy that the U.S. military has always been built on. Or allowing soldiers to elect to be non-deployable while going through government-paid transgender surgeries and transitions. That has been a disruptor to morale. Things like co-ed barracks and co-ed latrines and co-ed locker rooms have been a further disruption. Using taxpayer dollars to offer service members extra paid leave to travel for abortions has been in defiance of existing federal law. All this has combined, all of it, has combined to make for the smallest U.S. military we've had in over 80 years. As recruiting has dropped to epic lows for the past 4 years. And none of this has to do with training like we fight, so that we can fight like we win. So if we're going to fight like we train, then the training must truly resemble the fight. Getting dirty in war means getting dirty in training. If you have to make snap decisions under stressful conditions, then the training should also be stressful to hone that ability to look the situation over and then calmly and coolly execute your skill set, like somebody who has the confidence that was brought about by countless repetitions in the training environment. General George Patton once said, "He who sweats more in training bleeds less in battle." Our nation, our culture, has grown soft, and as a result, it has allowed the military to invent problems out of thin air, only to find out that while they stay distracted and chase unicorns and absurdities, that real issues are mounting up around them. But we can fix this by refocusing our recruiting efforts on telling young Americans that if they join the U.S. military, it's not just about whether Susie has two daddies and whether or not they're going to be inclusive and learn how to, you know, accept people. All that happens in the military anyway, as we all wear the same color green. You will refocus your recruiting efforts and recruit more people when you tell young Americans that if they join the U.S. military, they will live a life of service and honor, trained to be warriors, trained to be a part of something bigger than themselves, trained to stand in the gap, trained to fight, and trained to fight to win. We need the strong to get on their feet, raise their voices, and say, "Follow me." And for the past 4 years, the so-called leadership over the U.S. military has been reckless, feckless, and respectless. But I know that they are out there. I know there are soldiers that are waiting to be trained to win, and we need them. We need that person who is battle-born and heavy-tested, willing to lean into the wind, set their face like flint, and dare to oppose the enemies while also mentoring those that they lead. Somebody out there who could join our U.S. military who will say like Andrew Jackson, "I was born for the storm, and a calm does not suit me." So let's put our men and women in uniform with a sense of mission again. Train them like they fight, so they can fight like they train, which means fighting to win. Because he who sweats more in training bleeds less in battle, and that does apply to our military. That applies to life, but it also applies to our military, and I'm so glad to know that we have a new commander-in-chief, really an old commander-in-chief, who gets that, because the time may be coming that they get put to the test again. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I can't tell you how glad I am to see the U.S. military having an opportunity to know what it means to have a leader who's going to take them to new heights. That being said, we need it, and we need it soon, because the world is not a calm, peaceful place right now. And we have to be ready, train like we fight like we win. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades in here. There you go. Text lines are going bananas, so a bunch of y'all are already texting in. If you want to text in, the number is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Be glad to have your input on the show today. I'll be honest with you. What a great day today. You may have gathered already, I'm not operating inside the studio as usual. JP is there pushing all the buttons and keeping me, keeping me clean and honest. But I have had the opportunity now to be in Huntsville today, speaking to the Republican women. They met up at the Ledges, just an incredible location too, but the crowd was just great. And, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better day. I mean, I got to be the first one to speak at the club post-election. So you can imagine, I told him, I said, I think I could have come in and said, the sky is green, and y'all would have gone, yeah, but it was what a great time to do that. So anyway, thank you to the Republican women for having me in today in Madison, and just honestly, great, great time. Bunch of text messages. Let me get a few of those. James from Bucksville, Alabama says, Joy Reid has changed her Trump hairdo to a Tom Homan hairdo. She's looking pretty short. Yes, she does. We'll talk about Tom Heyman more in a minute. Alice from Huntsville says, wonderful to have you at the Republican. Oh, I met Alice today. I saw Alice today, as a matter of fact. Says, so good to meet you in person. Yes, it was, Alice. Thanks for giving me a chance to say hello to you, too. Allie from Athens says, excellent word, sir. It's going to be interesting to see how quickly things get rebuilt in this new administration. I'm waiting with bated breath. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I told the ladies today when I spoke Make no mistake, this is going to have to happen quickly. The things that the Trump administration is going to do need to be comprehensive, obviously, and they need to happen quickly, because I would say that we technically need to bank on having 2 years to work, not four. 2 years, because the midterm elections, it looks like as of last night, the report that I saw said that Republicans have indeed gotten the 218 magic mark in the House. So we are going to go in having control of the House, the Senate, and the White House. 2 years. 2 years to take what was an obvious mandate. And I, by the way, I use the word mandate sparingly. Not every election is a mandate. It's not. When the Republicans took majority in the House of Representatives in the 2022 midterms, it was not really a mandate. It was a narrow margin by which we achieved the ability to move forward. This election, in the broad sense, was a freaking mandate. It was like, how much more do you want? We'll give it to you. Just, you want seconds? I mean, that's where we were. So yeah, we got 2 years to get some good stuff done. Speaking of which, I will probably, when we get back from this, I'll probably cover a few things that have happened in the last 24 hours, really, before I even jump into my topic. Let me take a few text messages before I go. Penny from Athens says, with regards to the monologue, sends me a Forrest Gump meme, and it just says, "Yes, Drill Sergeant." The meme is R. Lee Ermey. By the way, that was an epic moment in Full Metal Jacket with R. Lee Ermey stalking the barracks as he. And what I've heard too was he was actually hired to be the consultant. And he did such an amazing job as he was showing them what to do. They just made him the character.
It was an iconic scene.
It was an iconic scene. Absolutely was. I'll be honest with you, I don't even like the whole movie. There are parts of it that are so dark that I can really do without it. But that one scene was just classic old school drill sergeant having at it. Shorty from Anderson says, "Great monologue, Phil. Thank you for your service." Thank you, Shorty. I appreciate that. So that was a very inspirational monologue, and if they gave out trophies for best monologues, you have to build yourself a trophy case. Thank you. I appreciate it. It says, "Keep up the good work, brother." Appreciate you. And I appreciate you, Shorty. Thanks for being a part of the show. All right, listen, we're going to break. I got more text messages. We're going to come back. I'm also going to fill you in on some latest things happening with the brand spanking new version of Trump 2.0. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, covering down on some major ground right now across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. I am right back to the text lines because they are full, and I got to keep going, or I'll get so far behind. I hope you'll be able to get y'all's input in the show. Rose Ellen from Harvest chimed in. She says, "Great monologue, Phil. Very inspiring, and hopefully we can get back up to military strength. We need people who can and are willing to defend this country against all enemies." Thank you, Rose Ellen, and I totally agree. And listen, I think we have some great members of the military right now. The rank and file, there's some solid men and women who are currently serving in all branches of our military, and I respect that, and I am not trying to take away from them. But the leadership, especially the civilian leadership, and really some of the upper-level, upper-tier generals and admirals, it's time for them to go. It's time for them to put their papers in and recognize that they have taken this down a road that does not need to go. They didn't bother to speak out when they were told that they had to pretend that climate change was the existential threat that the U.S. military had to apply itself to, for love of God. You know, they didn't say anything when they said, "We're going to send you some transgenders and they're not going to be deployable, but you're going to go ahead and give them free surgeries." And we had a sec def who said, "You know, I think what we're going to do is say, well, we're just mad because people can't get abortions on demand in some states where we have military bases. So we're going to give people paid leave and fly them to other states and pay for their abortions using federal funds," which is against the law, by the way. I mean, all this is just ridiculous. It's like the military became a petri dish for social experimentation. And we're going to fix that. I think that's going to be fixed. John from Huntsville checked in. He says, "Phil, fantastic monologue." He said, "Also, have you seen the short but very powerful YouTube video called Flash of Light at the Moment of Conception?" I saw that years ago, John, and it is amazing. And it's basically, it's one of those proof of life moments where you look at it and go, how do you argue against this? By the way, he wants to know, JP, what you're thinking about some who the four undefeated teams are in college football. Do you know? I'll throw it out there, JP. You're now on the spot. You want to chime in on that or let it play?
Oregon, BYU, Indiana, and Army. Yep, that'd be four.
Army's still one of them. Yep. That's right.
They are still
That's
undefeated.
That's crazy, man.
I know.
That is crazy.
I hope they ride it to the very end. That'd be awesome.
How'd your Saturday morning show go, by the way?
It went good, and I went 9-for-10 on my picks in Oklahoma.
Shut up.
Oklahoma had the game, and then they gave it away. They gave up two touchdowns in the last minute to lose. So I almost went perfect 10-for-10.
Let's talk about Georgia Tech for a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, that
you and
that
I were texting
impressive.
There for a minute during that game.
Yeah, I thought it would be another instance of Miami coming back and winning when they were in a situation like that, but they did not. And Georgia Tech gave them their first loss, so that's pretty impressive.
And it was a pretty resounding. I mean, it was a close score at the end, but if you look at the overall game, Georgia Tech pretty much ran it.
They played much better. It was impressive.
Yeah, they did. June Bug from Hartsville checks in. She says, "I have friends whose sons are in the military. And they were some of the first I thought about as soon as President Trump won the election. So I feel like these young men will be safer and treated with dignity, and if called upon to serve in battle, I trust the commander-in-chief, whereas that has not been the case for the past 4 years." Junebug, I think I should let you do the monologue. That was so well said. So thank you very much. Bobby from Moulton says, any of the never-Trumper Republicans still around? If they are, who cares? I don't know. I mean, some of these guys like David Frum and Bill Kristol, I'm still seeing them tweet the most inane things on X. I'm like, man, what is wrong with y'all? Just get over yourselves. You banked on the wrong. Liz Cheney, you know, take a hike. You know, and I'll tell you what. A lot of people were irritated with George W. Bush. I wasn't. I'll tell you why. Because George W. Bush honored the office by not using it so extensively that it was going to wind up, you know, having an impact on his own legacy. Maybe George W. Bush didn't like Donald Trump. Okay. But you know what? He didn't get out there and make a total fool of himself like his former Vice President Dick Cheney did. I mean, George W. Decided to stay quiet, and definitely silence speaks. I get that. Silence does speak. Not saying something is like saying something in some ways, and I get that. But you watch all the never-Trumpers, and you watch the former presidents, and you watch some of the people who chose to hang their hat on making a complete fool of themselves, and George W. just sat quietly and enjoyed being in retirement. And I appreciate that. I'm fine with that. I think he could have supported the Republican cause, but if he felt convicted that he didn't like Donald Trump, then I understand why he chose just to remain quiet and enjoy his retirement. Good on him. Bobby asked the Never Trumpers, he's clarifying, he said, "I mean in Congress to thwart the next 2 years." Oh, there's some. There absolutely are. There are some who got voted out. But what we got to watch right now is the U.S. Senate. So let's talk about that for a minute. I got asked some questions today while I was at the Republican Women's Luncheon in South Huntsville. And so, there's several things happening right now. Some of y'all are keenly aware that we are just now taking the House, and we still have some more. I'm not positive, and JP, you can look this up for me real quick. But I believe we hit 218 last night, confirmed by the AP. But we still have about six elections, I think, still left to be decided. We may wind up with like a 220 to 222 lead. But JP, when you see the numbers, let me know.
The AP right now has it at 214 for the GOP.
They're not putting 218 up yet?
Not yet, no.
I had a 218 report last night.
The AP is like one of the last ones to verify that stuff. So I would they didn't even verify Georgia until like the day after it actually was called.
They were thinking.
So yeah,
take a look on townhall.com or on Fox and see if you find it that way. In the meantime, just know this. Yeah, sure, there's some never Trumpers still in there. I mean, we didn't have a lot of incumbents being challenged in their primaries in the Republican Party that would have undone some of that. But on the Senate side, there's a question of leadership. So right now, who runs the Senate? Well, it's going to be the Republicans. Who runs the Republicans and sets the tone for the overall Senate and also sets the calendar for what bills get passed and come to the floor for votes and all that kind of stuff? Well, right now, Mitch McConnell's finally, praise God, stepping down. I mean, that guy's been a mech problem for a few years. He has presided over tepid results. Now, he's done, I'll give this to Mitch McConnell. If I have anything to thank him for, it's the fact that we now have a very conservative judicial branch. And it's because he pushed those confirmations through. Good on him. But he also left several things hanging and accommodated the Democrats far too much. And we got to move forward. We want some things to happen that are done differently. Well, McConnell's handpicked person is John Thune, who's one of the ones being considered for leadership. Then there's John Cornyn, who was a never-Trumper at one point. Although I keep in mind that, you know, Marco Rubio didn't like Trump at one point either, and neither did J.D. Vance at that matter. But John Cornyn has more recently been a thorn in Trump's side. And then there's Rick Scott. Conservatives nationwide are calling for Rick Scott. In Alabama, we're hearing that that Rick Scott is being openly and vigorously supported by Tommy Tuberville. We don't know what Katie Britt is doing. And so my hope is, my encouragement to the Britt folks is that she will vote for Rick Scott. Because I think that's what the people want. The people did not vote this mandate so that we could sit back and go, well, it was nice. We'll see what we can get done. Maybe we'll do a little something. No, we want freaking change. We want to unwind these woke policies. The whole of government approach that Biden took was comprehensive, and it's got a lot of tentacles that we've got to fix. We don't have time for screwing around with moderation. We got 2 years. So that being said, I'm hopeful that Rick Scott is going to be the next leader of the U.S. Senate. And I would encourage you all to let, you know, Katie Britt's office know that. The other side, too, is that we've got, like, our listeners in Tennessee. I'm hearing that Marsha Blackburn is supporting, I believe she's supporting John Thune, but I'm not positive. But anyway, people that, I mean, they're going to have their own mind. And they're voting for their own caucus leadership, and they're voting internally, and they're voting on conversations and relationships, and they're voting, and there's a lot to it. I get that. But all of us on the outside looking in, we know why we put them there. And we want somebody like a Rick Scott, by and large, to be the next leader of the U.S. Senate. We'll see what happens.
By the way, Town Hall has called it 219 for Republicans in the House, but the Fox News has not called it yet. They still have it at 214 as well. So Town Hall has called it, but Fox News and AP, from what I looked at, is not yet.
Okay, so Town Hall may be where I saw it when I was doing my research. So how many races do they show? Do you see how many races they show still out there that are left to be counted?
This one does not show, but I can look that up real quick.
Yeah, see if you can. Well, you want to go with the Town Hall because that's going to show you how many they've not called.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're saying we're at 219. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to hit 220, maybe up to 222. All right, couple things that are happening before I go to the break. Trump has begun to make his cabinet announcements. So far, I'm pretty pleased. Me personally, I mean, by the way, Trump didn't call and say, Phil, are you pleased? But just letting you know, guys, I am pleased. Tom Homan as the border czar, I am stoked. I am fired up about this. I mean, Tom Homan is already saying that he hopes and believes that Donald Trump will actually use U.S. special operations to take out drug cartels at the southern border. I hope they do. I would love to see us locate one giant fentanyl lab somewhere in the jungles of Colombia and put a friggin', you know, Tomahawk cruise missile in the middle of it. But we'll wait and see. But I do believe that Tom Homan, as the border czar, is going to be a great choice. And the actual boss for the Department of Homeland Security is going to be Kristi Noem. Kristi Noem leaving her governorship to take that job. That's cool. And who else I really like is Marco Rubio as Secretary of State. That was a pick that I said weeks ago that I could see him being the Secretary of State, and I hope he was. I think he's a good one. We also just learned a little while ago that he has named Governor Mike Huckabee as the ambassador to Israel. What a great, great choice. Ambassador Huckabee, who's a former minister himself who loves the Lord. I mean, I've had the opportunity to pray with him personally, and that man as the ambassador to Israel is going to get her done. And I think that's a good one. And then we're also starting to see other picks. I mean, you've got Lee Zeldin as the EPA guy. I mean, so all these, Lee Zeldin's going to go in there and deregulate the regulatory body of the EPA. That's going to be fun. So all these picks are starting to come out right now. We don't know who some of the big ones are. We don't know who the SecDef's going to be, but we do know that former Green Beret Congressman Mike Waltz out of Florida is going to be the national security advisor. That's cool. We also know that Elise Stefanik is taking a role, and I've just forgotten where her role is. Elise Stefanik, where's her? Hey, look up Elise Stefanik so I can talk while you're typing, bud. And Elise Stefanik is being appointed to a position, and I just forgot which one it was.
It was something with the UN. Was it a UN ambassador?
UN ambassador. That's yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Elise Stefanik. And she lives in New York, so not have to travel too far to the UN headquarters. But so here's one concern that I think we have to watch, and people have asked me about this. What do we do with Trump taking people out of the House when and the Senate, for that matter, when our margins are so narrow? In most states, it depends on state law, but in most states, a vacancy that comes up in a Senate position is appointed by the governor. So, for instance, when Rubio leaves his seat in Florida, conservative governor DeSantis is going to be the one who appoints the successor. You can trust how that's going to go. In the House, though, a vacancy in Congress, if I'm not mistaken, usually requires a special election. So we have to be very careful with these. Like Elise Stefanik in New York, whew. I mean, I think she's in a pretty reasonable area for re-election to a Republican seat. But you got to know that we're running a, hopefully, what is a very well thought out, kind of weighted risk. But there's that. All right, JP, before I go too long, take me to a break, brother. We'll take that break. We'll come right back. I'm going to jump into the first dipper and then cap it off with a conversation at the top of the hour from my own brother, JP's dad, actually, Charles Plott. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're back in. And I really haven't even jumped in. There's so much news right now. It's unfolding by the hour. The Trump campaign is now the Trump transition team. By the way, Trump and Joe Biden are meeting for lunch tomorrow. I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you? I mean, yeah. Is this awkward? I look at it and think, then again, they might laugh about Kamala together. Who knows? What
yeah.
do you think?
Man, I don't know. I would like to think that would be a productive meeting, but I think it would probably be a lot of other people other than Biden doing the real conversations, the important conversations. I think Biden will probably be there as a symbolic, you know, measure. But I don't think...
You know, you say that. I could see why that could be the thing. But if Trump goes in there with, you know, himself and a couple others, and they walk in and they got an entire conference table filled up with people who all want to speak, if I were Trump, I'd say, excuse me, I just came to meet with him.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be a productive meeting, and I hope so. But it's just, which, by the way, did you see the video of Biden trying to walk in the sand over the weekend?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I just,
yes.
I feel like he's gotten even worse even since the campaign or the debate that made him fall out. I hope it's a productive meeting, but, I hope they can actually, you know, get stuff done, talk about stuff that's important. But yeah, I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
Well, listen, so speaking of all the things, though, one of the all the things that we're looking at right now is liberals who still can't wrap their head around. I mean, you got women out there who, I mean, first of all, who goes on social media and shaves their head in protest? I mean, that doesn't hurt Donald Trump, just so you know. And there are women who are saying, I'm not going to have sex for 4 years. I will be abstinent. Okay.
I'm so glad you brought this up. This has been driving me nuts over the weekend. I've seen too many videos of this.
Wearing the blue bracelets and shaving their heads and talking about being abstinent. And I mean, what the heck, man?
I think it's called the 4B movement, which I don't even know why it's called 4B. But I've seen videos, too, of women talking about this movement and how disrespectful it is to people who are living, you know, for example, in Afghanistan right now, where the Taliban just banned women from being able to talk in public. That's a real rights issue of they don't have any rights, which Trump, you know, we can go down the road of Trump wanting a national abortion ban, which is wrong, or anything, the president even having any input on what the Supreme Court ruled, which they really don't. But it's just, it's so insulting to the women who are actually living in countries without rights when, you know, it's just, it's ridiculous.
It really is. And I'll tell you, too, some of the lack of coping skills that we're seeing, which is what we're going to talk to Charlie Plott about here in just a minute. But what we're seeing in terms of a lack of coping skills is at epic levels. And I saw, listen, there was a piece that came out on Breitbart. I got a copy in my hands. Yale University chief psychiatry resident, Dr. Amanda Calhoun, said on Joy Reid Show, and that should tell you a lot right there, MSNBC's Joy Reid Show, that liberals who were devastated by Donald Trump's presidential reelection should separate from family members who voted for him. That's what kind of psychiatrist is she? I mean, she's advocating for the splitting up of the family because of politics. So I look at this and think, okay, first of all, and I said this to the Republican women today at my speech, the idea that there's going to be people who you disagree with in your family is pretty much normal, all right? And there's been a lot of passion involved in this political scenario we've been in for the last 4 years, really, but especially the election season, the last year, year and a half, has been at epic levels. But here's the thing. If your friendships or your relationships were so conditional, not unconditional, but conditional, that how somebody voted means you don't want to be their friend anymore, then apparently you weren't much of a friend or a relation in the first place. And if they are conditioning their relationships with actual blood family members, like you're no longer welcome at the Thanksgiving table. Well, that's okay. First of all, you don't have to own that. They did it themselves. But my gosh. Well, listen, do I hear music playing? I can't tell. I think I do.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. All right. We're going to keep talking about the coping mechanisms or the inability there too with liberals with Charlie Plott coming on here in just a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in a remote and secret studio squirreled away in Huntsville, Alabama. But we got all the same. We still got the local, the state, the federal. I mean, we got it covered, all the issues. And yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two here on a Tuesday afternoon. 1 week to the day since Republicans had the most landslide victory, really an election comeback, if you will, that we've seen in modern U.S. history. So listen, I started this topic right before the top of the hour about liberal coping skills or lack thereof. And now, granted, I guess there's probably some Democrats out there that have accepted where they are, and they know what they got to do to win next time, and they're going to get back into business, but whatever. We're seeing some amazing amount of an inability to cope, and we're seeing some ridiculous stuff about, you know, colleges needing to bring in therapy goats. But I don't know what a baby therapy goat is, but that does, I want one. Anyway, the bottom line is, you've got the public sector unions, one of them for the government employees in D.C. saying that they're actually members that are suffering from PTSD thinking about Trump coming in. Like, do they know what real PTSD is? All that to say, I got to thinking, wait a minute, I've got somebody in my family who can talk to this. I mean, like, talk to it well. So I'm bringing in my brother, who happens to be JP's dad, but he's Charles Plott, who's a former licensed professional counselor. He's now a mental game coach for athletes and executives. He's the CEO of Plott Performance. He's worked with the 2008 Ryder Cup team. He's worked with PGA Tour winners, including a Masters champion. He's really good at talking through the issues, unlike that Yale University psychiatrist I quoted a minute ago. He's on the line right now. Hey, Charles Plott. How you doing, man?
I'm good, Phil. Good to hear you.
Good to hear you. Thanks for making some time. And JP, if you can boost his signal a little bit, I'm still having trouble hearing him a little bit. But listen, so Charlie, baby therapy goats, is that really a thing?
It must be. I want one too.
you don't use those in your practice?
No, I don't. And it makes me worry about something systemic going on in our culture, which is everybody is hypersensitive and they're victimized by almost anything. And you just made a reference to post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And by definition, it involves a life-threatening situation, but maybe it is for some folks out there, considering the fact that, you know, Trump was Hitler and fascists and all of this sort of stuff. But we, if you take this logically, it leads to a really insecure, victimized feeling culture. And heaven forbid we have to deal with something that truly is life-threatening to our nation, because, it, you know, if I'm going to go into battle, I've got to be ready to kill somebody. I've got to be ready to deal with blood and guts. And if I can't handle an election or somebody using language I don't like or whatever we're going to get offended by, I think it's shifted to a really, really far balance on the wrong side here. Even a fairly liberal show like Special Victims Unit stuff, and they're very sensitive to people, but then they'll look them, the victims on the show, they'll look them right in the eye and go, but you're going to feel so much better when you get on the stand and you look that person in the eye and tell everybody what happened.
Yeah, and it really is something. I almost feel like, Charlie, and I'm being serious when I say this, I really feel like claiming PTSD because Trump got elected, or needing a therapy goat, or women who are shaving their heads and wearing blue bracelets and abstaining from sex for 4 years, they say. I look at it and think, that's really almost insulting to people who have actually experienced true trauma.
I totally agree with that. And you mentioned the fact that I work with athletes, and I would challenge your listeners to look up this guy named Jordan Thomas, the Jordan Thomas Foundation. He was one of my golfers, one of the most talented young men I had ever seen, 15 years old, almost 16 at the time, 6'4", just phenomenal athlete, and is involved in a boating accident. Justin knows Jordan. Involved in a boating accident that caused him to lose both legs.
Wow.
6 weeks after losing both legs, he stood up on the first tee of his country club that had been closed for renovation, and they said, Jordan, will you hit the first tee shot off the first hole to reopen the golf course? And he stood up there. He had only learned to walk on them 2 weeks prior, and stood up there and hit a 280-yard drive right down the middle of the fairway.
No kidding.
Jordan has been one of CNN's heroes of the year. He has been in front of Congress lobbying for folks that lose limbs because insurance companies only pay for one set of replacements. Well, if I'm 7 years old, I'm going to need a lot of replacements.
Yeah, no kidding.
And the day after it happened, I got on the phone with him. I called his dad to see how he was doing. And he goes, oh, you want to talk to him? And I'm like, oh, my goodness, what do you say to somebody? And he gets on the phone. I go, man, this is, you know, this is a tough break, big guy. And the first words out of a 15-year-old's mouth is, God must have something special for me.
See, that's what I'm talking about. And I look at it and think, okay, folks, if this has rocked your world because you're worried that your daughter won't be able to get the abortion on demand that she really wanted in a state that's red, I look at it and go, then move somewhere else. But this is not one of those things that actually determines your mental health unless you let it. Am I right?
And so the most researched and reliable source of therapy is something called cognitive behavioral therapy, changing the way you think and the way you act, which is exactly what it tells us to do scripturally, by the way, that we are to think like Christ thinks and we're to act like he acted. And so at the root of cognitive behavioral therapy is the fact that we choose what belief to put on an event. So in the state of Alabama, there is a big football game every year. I bet you could even know what it is. And there are a bunch of people in the state who root for one side and a bunch of people in the state who root for the other side. There will be an outcome. And based on your belief system, you will experience emotions based on that. So if Alabama goes into the Auburn game and I'm an Alabama graduate and I want to see them win and Auburn beats them, I'm not going to have real positive feelings after that game. And I may act, I may, you know, kick the wall or whatever, you know, I may act, but I'm going to have a miserable outcome. But I could choose, even if Alabama lost, I could choose, you know, this is probably going to teach these guys a really great lesson, and I need to learn not to get my ego hung up into football games, and I can have a whole different outcome. And so we choose what belief we want to put on it, and I see people responding to other people choosing the label. You can go listen to a certain set of news organizations, and they're going to put a totally different label on it than another set of news organizations.
Yeah.
And so and this is awful. This is tragic.
Well, it is tragic. And I tell you, too, one of the most, unconscionable things I've heard was a mental health professional. She's a Yale University psychiatry resident. And she was on Joy Reid's show on MSNBC the other day. And she was actually advocating for people to separate themselves from family members who had voted opposite of their beliefs. In other words, don't invite them to Thanksgiving. You might want to reconsider how close you are with them. Don't trust them with things. I mean, she literally just called for people as a mental health professional to cut people off because of how they felt about the election. And I look at that and I find that to be unconscionable, first of all. I also worry about what kind of patients is she seeing these days?
Well, first of all, there are people you probably shouldn't invite to Thanksgiving. You know,
By the way, you and I will see each other Thanksgiving.
By the way, we will. But that you may not want to invite Uncle Bob, who shows up drunk and berates all the women at Thanksgiving. You know, you may not want to invite somebody that is engaging in criminal activity and may bring drugs or weapons to Thanksgiving, but these are real threats. And I grew up, Phil, and I assume you kind of have the same thing, which is there's going to be people who vote differently than me, and that is perfectly their right. It doesn't change whether or not I'm supposed to love them and accept them and be tolerant. And so
One of the
foundational things to valuing another person is tolerance. And I didn't see Jesus being intolerant of anybody other than the Pharisees.
Yeah. And tolerance, by the way, tolerance is not to be confused with condoning. I mean,
it's two totally different things.
That's exactly right. You can not condone someone's behavior. You cannot agree with their line of thinking, and you can still have tolerance for who they are as a person. And I think that's what's missing so much right now.
I think you're exactly right. Is there that they devalue, and you've seen this go on over the last decade almost, that Trump's been around, is the devaluing of this individual or any individual that dare put on a hat that says "Make America Great Again." You know,
that's what I wanted to get to, and you degrade them. And Charlie, we only got about a minute left before I have to go to the break and wind this up. But that's the thing I wanted to ask you real quickly. I feel like they've also been almost brainwashed. For 4 years, they've been told Nazism, fascism, Trump bad, you know, and to the point now that they're living in what they were told would happen, even though it hasn't truly happened, because they've been mentally conditioned to it. About 30 seconds left. What do you think?
Well, I challenge people, if you're having feelings you don't like and leading to outcomes you don't like, look and go, what is going on my belief level that's leading to this undesirable outcome inside of me? That if there's something disturbed inside of me, I need to find out what that is.
Well, good enough, man. But right now, it's just amazing to watch. But all right, my brother, JP's dad, Charles Plott, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for making time today. That was helpful.
Thank you, Phil.
All right, we'll see y'all. JP, I ran long, but go ahead and take it to the break. But I'll tell you, listen, he said it right there. Tolerance is not the same as condoning. And, oh, by the way, these things we're seeing, it's not true PTSD. It's not true life crises. Some of that's choice, and maybe you've been just listening to the wrong, you know, clarion calls for the last 4 years. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll catch up on some text messages. I got some good ones in there. And then coming up bottom of the hour, Congressman Dale Strong, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a bunch of text messages and somebody holding on the line, so I'll do what I can here in a short segment. But I will say this. James from St. Clair just texted in. He said, brainwashing your captured operation was the tactic of the Chaldeans in Babylon from Daniel. He says, we have to be the people who proactively decide ahead of time not to kneel to the big flamboyant golden idol. Wow, James, great text. Glenn from Bluntsville says, are therapy goats smarter than the college students? Yes, I believe some of them are. That's hilarious. Let me go to the phone real quick before I run out of time because I ran long on that last segment. But Wolverine Dan's on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Well, a therapy call sounds great. Not only, you know, I get therapy, but they can keep my lawn trimmed.
That's exactly right. So, and if things get bad, you can go ahead and have them for dinner. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I got it. Well, there you go. Two for one, and the third option is you're gone. Anyway, Kerry Lake, the result there in Arizona, very disappointed. Every year, every election, it seems to go this way where they can't get the votes counted right away. See, there's something smelly there, and it's not right, okay? I think we need to do is when the president gets sworn in, the first thing you should do is a mandate where all elections are the same, process the same, and done by the end of the evening. And then my closing, I didn't know there was they pay these entertainers to show up to support Kamala. Wow. You know, but you did it because you believed in the candidate and your country. So what does that say? So I'll hang up and let you comment on that. See ya.
Yeah, see ya, man. I tell you what, some of those celebrities that are being called out right now, like Oprah and Bruce Springsteen and John Bon Jovi and Beyonce and Cardi B and, I mean, listen, and Eminem, if they got paid, then that's nuts. That's not a true endorsement. If they didn't get paid, they need to say so now so we can stop talking about them, because right now the word is they got paid. The Harris team has just grown. By the way, if this is not a classic indication of what life would have been like had she gotten elected, she would have treated the United States government like her own personal giant checkbook. I mean, they were just awash in money. She raised $1 billion and then blew it. I'm talking about blew it like, you know, a sailor on leave. Just came off the ship and started spending money. But she blew it to the point that they are now $20 million in debt as a campaign. Meaning they weren't tracking, they weren't keeping good tabs, they were making snap decisions, and there's a lot of people that are ticked right now and want some accountability for how that went. Coming up next, by the way, we're going to have Congressman Dale Strong calling in. We've got some news. I mean, we're talking about Space Command again. We're talking about what's happening in D.C., and we're talking about what's happening with our southern border. I'm looking forward to seeing where all this goes, but we'll have our congressman calling in. And JP, I can't hear any music, so you tell me when I got to go to break, brother.
But we still got a minute left, so we're good.
Oh, good. I can keep talking. Jeff P. from ARAB says, I did not know you were JP's uncle. That's cool. It is. It's also very cool because he already knew how to do this job before I hired him. I just watched him do such a good job for Dale Jackson for 7-8 months that I just finally said, man, you got to come to Gadsden. So here he is.
It's the Dale is the Phil training program, I guess, for Right.
That's exactly right. And I am proud to poach. JT Lacey Springs texts in and says, abortion, it might make you unpregnant, but more so it makes you the parent of a deceased child. Whew, JT, that's so well said. We got another texter who calls himself the other JP in Harvest. He says, if leftist women stop having sex to protest Trump, that solves the abortion issue. I love my audience. That's good. Wiley from Guntersville says pretty much the same thing. He says, Phil, 4 years of no sex for those 4B women ought to cut deeply into their procreation, and we should celebrate that as a win. Oh, my gosh. That is called natural attrition right there. It is natural attrition. It's self-inflicted.
By the way, we got music playing if you couldn't hear it.
I hear the music this time, brother. Thank you very much. All right, listen, we are headed to a break. Coming up next, Congressman Dale Strong calling in. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I mean it. I say it. It's Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, we're going to keep enjoying the moment here. We're still basking in the warm afterglow of a great election, but I said today when I spoke to the Republican women in Madison County that let's enjoy the moment. Let's shake the hands, slap the backs, hug the necks, do all the things, but you know what? Now the real fight begins. Now we got work to do. Now we got to get busy over the next 2 years. Well, one of the people that's going to be getting busy for us is on the phone right now. Congressman Dale Strong is the congressman from Alabama's 5th Congressional District. He hails from the Madison County area. He was elected in November 2022, and he's up there doing what he can to make a difference. He's on the phone right now. Hey, Congressman, how you doing?
Phil, great to be with you again.
Well, thanks for making some time. Listen, just give me the quick version. I can imagine it, but what's the mood like in the Republican caucus right now?
Well, I'll tell you this right here. The big thing we're going to find out real quick is who wants to change America and join with Donald Trump. I think most of the most of our group is ready to roll. We've got some positions we've got to fill here in our organizational chart, but I'll tell you this right here. You look at what Donald Trump's doing, Tom Homan, I believe he's going to be able to. He's going to be the greatest czar that ever hit. He's going to look out for America, and you just look at it. Trump has absolutely everything he said. He's keeping those promises, and we're marching. And it's time to take care of business.
Well, you know, and I agree. And right now, it's a mixed review. Townhall.com says that it appears that we have retained a House majority, but that you know, like the AP still hasn't gone down that road yet. What are you hearing? I think it's going to be a majority. What are you hearing?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the 222, 223 number. It's going to be a small majority, but we're going to check some people's oil pretty quick here to find out where they stand and if they're for America or they want the same business as usual. And change is in the air. I feel it's going to happen soon.
Well, and I hope that's the case. You know, so speaking of change, one of the things that just came out on AL.com today is that the senior member of our delegation, Congressman Rogers, has said that he believes Space Command is coming to Huntsville. What do you know?
Just like what we told, the facts speak for themselves. 21 categories, it showed that Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama was the best choice for national security. We've been mashing this home ever since I got there. I can tell you the conversations I've had with President Trump, he understands what has to be done, and I believe it's going to happen sooner rather than later.
And if I'm not mistaken, you were on the county commission during that phase of getting Huntsville prepped and approved for Space Command, and now you're seeing it from Congress. You were there for the early days too, weren't you?
I was. It was the most thorough process I've ever seen. You look at those categories. It was evaluating everything from education to transportation to the cost to construct, the cost to maintain, and you look at it. It always came back to Redstone Arsenal, and I just remember questioning General Dickinson, Secretary Kendall, Secretary of the Air Force, and it just proved Secretary Kendall said that he evaluated the 21 categories, and he recommended Redstone Arsenal in Huntsville, Alabama. And so you look at it, let's do what's right for national security. And I said from day one, if it wasn't the best choice for national security, I couldn't go with it. But the facts and the data proves itself, and it's going to lead to 1,700 new jobs for our North Alabama with a 3,000 job spinoff. And let's do what's right for national security. And our people have previously accepted the challenge, and I think that we're going to accept it again, and we're going to show that the right decision is for Huntsville.
You know, it's amazing, too, Congressman. So when I was a kid, my grandfather was post commander at Redstone in the early 70s. And I can distinctly remember he lived in a little, he was a post commander as a general officer, and he lived in a small, one-story rancher on the base, and I look at what Redstone is now. It's amazing the amount of growth and the number of commands and other facilities that have planted themselves there over the years. Redstone is really is a leader in the Department of Defense, and with the FBI there, it's incredible.
Well, you look at it. The Space Command was Mike Rogers of Alabama's idea, and it was always going to be temporary in Colorado. It was never meant to be the permanent command base there, although they did participate in the process. But if you look at it, we're far superior in our area, and so that's the thing that we're pushing. But I really do. I tip my hat to Mike Rogers, especially the entire Alabama delegation. There was a lot of people that said, Dale, you're wasting your time. But again, I'm glad that we did what we did. Number one, we proved that the data was correct. And number two, we stopped the Milcon construction in Colorado and started this IG investigation, which will concur with what we've said from day one, is that Redstone is not just the decision is not based on politics. It's based on what is right for national security, and that's what we have pushed since day one. And I believe it's going to be another promise that was made and another promise that was kept by Donald Trump.
Well, and I look forward to it, and I believe you're right. Let me ask you this. So Congressman Mike Rogers, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, seniority in the House means a lot, but there's been talk in the media lately of him being tapped as a potential Secretary of Defense. Are we going to lose him to a job in a different capacity?
Well, I can tell you he's more than qualified to do it. Mike Rogers has been a great mentor to me in my first 2 years in Congress. Number one, it was great for him to put himself up for this. And again, if he does go, we're going to miss him in House Armed Services. If he stays in House Armed Services, we're going to win there also. But it's been a process. The president has hit the ground running. You look at what's going on at Mar-a-Lago right now. I mean, it is an absolute war room trying to be sure we get the right people in office and be sure that we get these Democrat-appointed judges off the bench and get Republicans in there. And so I think it's going to work out good for America.
Well, so I guess more to come on the Mike Rogers thing, but there have been some announcements that I'm pretty stoked about. I like Marco Rubio for Secretary of State. I really like Tom Homan for the border czar. It looks to me, I mean, the border being one of the chief issues that people went to the polls about, it looks like we're going to see a new day on the southern border pretty soon. What do you think?
Well, he was asked, I guess, today or yesterday about, you know, how is he going to keep families together? I think his answer was perfect. He said, we'll deport them together, and that way they don't have to break up. But this guy is an American. He's out for America. He's going to do what's right. He's going to base it on the Constitution, but he takes no crap from nobody. And I think that's what we need in this position. He's perfect for the job.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I love the fact, too, there was an article that came out this morning that said that the rank and file of the Customs and Border Patrol, that their morale has gone through the roof, and that people who were thinking about dropping their papers to retire and just get out are saying now that they'll stay.
Well, that's the thing. They've been begging for help the whole time. You look at some of the questioning that we did to the leadership of Border Patrol, and they were begging for leadership, not only from 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, they were also wanting it from the border czar, and they got it from neither one of them. But I believe we're going in the right direction, and we're taking America back. Our republic is alive and well.
Well, so let's talk about recess appointments. And I know that the Senate is the one that handles confirmations, but there's been a lot of talk about Senate leadership and who's going to wind up being the next Senate leader. I know that our two senators right now, Tommy Tuberville has said that he is openly supportive of Rick Scott. And I don't think we've gotten a commitment of one way or the other out of Katie Britt yet. But the recess appointments, we've got to get these appointments in place. And do you foresee that, even though it's the Senate and you're in the House, do you foresee that as being something that whoever takes the leadership role is going to allow those recess appointments to take place?
Well, I'll tell you this right here. The Senate's got to get this worked out sooner rather than later. I've been on the phone constantly with Coach and with Senator Britt. And the big thing is Alabama's going to play a vital role in this process. But we have no time to waste. You start looking at it. We've got a bunch of federal judges that are appointed, and the president, I think, is going to take a position that when he's sworn in, that that's their last day, rather than letting them hold the position until the appointment's made. And I think that's the right position to take. You know, it's kind of very similar to the Space Command. You know, you look at what's going on there, be definitive. He's already got the data. That's how he made his decision. It was data-driven. And I'll be honest with you, my communication is when we cut the ribbon on this, I'm hoping to have President Donald Trump in Huntsville to do it.
Oh, man. Listen, and if that happens, I want to be there too. I mean, I look at that as being one of those things that is not only good for Alabama, but is also a bellwether, sort of a indicator that things are indeed different now.
I'm pretty excited about Lee Zeldin going to EPA. You start looking, there's where a lot of our problems are. That's where they're choking out American businesses and what this administration's done. The president's actually coming tomorrow, and we'll be meeting with him tomorrow here on the Hill.
He also said, by the way, that he wants to get rid of the Department of Education. I'm personally for that. Do you think that'll happen?
100%. That's $80 billion wasted. And you know my position. I've already brought this up in a bill before, but that's $80 billion being wasted. My recommendation was take $40 billion of it to pay down the national debt, take the other $40 billion, send it back to the states, and get the federal government out of education. All that's what they're doing is holding millions of dollars over superintendents' heads to get them to teach critical race theory, send the money back to the states, get the federal government out of education. The heartbeat of our state, you see your state representatives all the time. The last thing you need to do is be pleading with the president to stop blowing money on things that we don't agree with. And I think that, you look at it, that's one good way to get the boys out of the girls' restrooms also in sports.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be something? I mean, that's where the Title IX, reimagination came from, was the Department of Education. A lot of folks don't realize that. And they presided for 40 years.
You look at some of the things, Phil, that's happened. You also look at this Department of Justice. You know, they redrew the Alabama congressional districts. And you think about it. It's supposed to be a Democrat-leaning district. Well, you look at that district, man. The Republicans lost by 8 points, which is a blowout. And I'm going to tell you, I hope the Alabama House of Representatives takes this district redrawing back up again, because it appears that the Supreme Court of our country is probably going to reverse what they've done to Louisiana, which is the same thing they did to Alabama. These districts should not be drawn by the federal courts.
No, I completely agree. And I think they will, and I think that we're going to see that. I think part of it's still on appeal, if I'm not mistaken, but I do believe we ought to pursue that to the nth degree. Well, Congressman, I can't believe that flew by, but we are already up against the break. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate you being available today, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon as things develop, all right?
Stay tuned. We'll be with the president tomorrow.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, sir. That was Congressman Dale Strong calling in, and listen, I agree with him. I think it's hit the ground running, and I love hearing him say he is for getting rid of the Department of Education. I hope the rest of Congress is on that mind. Alabama is going to play a pivotal role. Our two senators and our congressional delegation. Think about it, y'all. We have the highest percentage of Trump vote in a congressional district in the nation has been the 4th congressional district of Alabama for the last few two elections. And then you've got the congressman who is the chairman of House Armed Services and one of the senior members of Appropriations. That's Adderholt and Rogers. And then you've got our two senators who are both, rising stars in the caucus. I think we got a chance to make waves as a state. All right, JP, take me to a break, brother. We'll take that break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll see if I can finish up on the question that I had earlier from Wolverine Dan. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, just making common sense like a superpower. Man, this show is flying by, flying by. Got several text messages to catch up on, and I'll tell you too. There was a question earlier. Am I right, JP? Didn't part of Wolverine Dan's call was asking about the Kerry Lake race out in Arizona, right?
Yeah, and he just expressed his disapproval of such the long vote count from Arizona and didn't allege, but brought up the question of, is it related to any sort of cheating or something nefarious? So, yeah.
Well, we're gonna find out. But truth be told, here's one of my frustrations with Carrie Lake's race. Mitch McConnell did nothing to help her. So First of all, McConnell is always about, and I'm gonna tell you. Okay, so here's a quick story. I was interviewed. I was on Governor Robert Bentley's short list to be the appointee to the U.S. Senate. When Jeff Sessions stepped down to become the Attorney General for Trump. So there's a vacancy. So the governor had to appoint. Well, I was one of, I think, five people that he interviewed for the possible position. I didn't get it, obviously. But I'll never forget, I was sitting in the governor's office, he and I having a discussion about it. And he was going over the whole thing and we're talking about my background and all these things. And at one point, though, he looked down at his desk and he had a sticky note. This is the governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley. He pulls up the sticky note. He goes, look at this. He goes, McConnell wants me to call him back again. And he goes, McConnell has called me like twice a day. And all he keeps saying is, whatever you do, don't send me one of those Freedom Caucus types. And when he said that, I thought, well, I'm not getting the job.
Yeah.
Which I didn't. But that's what Mitch McConnell has been doing. When he says, don't send me one of those Freedom Caucus types, what he's saying is, don't send me a true bona fide conservative who is, going to ask for things like tax cuts and fight for conservative principles and fiscal responsibility and, you know, cultural questionable things are going by the wayside now because we're going to be conservative and traditional. So he didn't want all that. Well, that's what happened in Carrie Lake's race. So is there any hanky-panky in the election? I don't know, but I do know this. I am told... the reports that I've read have said that Carrie Lake did not get any support from Mitch McConnell, who is supposed to be there to help the races because he has the National Senate Republican Conference from which he can provide monetary assistance to races that are close or need assistance. He supported Larry Hogan, who lost big by like 8 points in Maryland. So he picked a tepid candidate to go with. But he ignored Carrie Lake, and Carrie Lake appears to have lost by the smallest of margins.
Yeah, I was about
to say. So small, we may have a recount still.
Imagine if he did back her up, you know, with such a close race, you know, any sort of help would have, you know, maybe bumped her over the edge. But also, I don't know if you saw Tucker Carlson dropped a major paragraph on social media about Mitch McConnell and how right after Trump is elected he brings up early elections in the Senate and talking about how he's trying to undertake Trump's, you know, future administration. And it's, I think conservatives across the board are fed up with Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I'll never forget after the 2022 midterms, he comes to the microphone and literally says, well, I never promised that we'd have a Republican supermajority. You didn't get a majority at all.
Yeah, it's I'm glad he's on his way out. Let's just say that.
Yeah, I am too. It's way past time for his leadership or lack thereof to be gone. And again, he did some good things, and I know he did, because like I said, the judicial appointments and confirmations for those were epic, and that's why we changed Roe v. Wade. That's why we have federal district court judges, which are strong now. But so to answer Wolverine Dan on the question of Carrie Lake's race, I see one of the biggest problems being the lack of support she got from the conservative establishment or the Republican establishment in D.C. Just saying. Is that music playing again?
It is.
It is. That means I'm going to a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, operating from a safely ensconced bunker in Huntsville, Alabama, out of studio, going remotely. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio, sort of. I'm operating remotely out of Huntsville right now, but all the same, we still got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on this day of days. This is literally 7 days since we all went to the polls. Life's already different. It's just good. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There are there's a restoration of hope and expectation right now that was not there before the election. Now, the election brought its own level of expectation, but I'm talking about expectation for things to go the way conservatives believe they should and could go in the United States of America. The idea that the promise that this nation holds can actually be fulfilled, and the posture on the world stage is basically like saying we're back. And you look at it and think it's amazing to think how far down the Biden administration was able to drag things just in the last 4 years. But now we have a chance to do something meaningful, something important. And it's work that we had better been doing. There is no way in the world we should sit on our laurels. And I don't think that Trump's going to do that. I mean, he is not known for being somebody who sits around patiently waiting for things to develop. He's going to go get her done. But he's going to have the people with him who are willing to get their hands dirty and get in there and do it. Let me get a bunch of text messages here and clean some of those up. Barry from Fultondale. Phil, will Trump move Space Command to Huntsville? Yes, I believe he will. And you may have heard Congressman Dale Strong say the same thing a moment ago. I think that Trump's going to do that with relish. And especially keep in mind, Alabama has not only been the state that was approved, that met every milestone necessary to be the headquarters of Space Command, the location for the headquarters. This is not Space Force, by the way. This is Space Command. But then at the same time, this is also a state that has shown great support and loyalty to Trump throughout, a delegation that has done so. And so I believe that that while it's easy to do on its merits alone, I believe that he'll also want to do it because he wants to thank the people of Alabama for being there for him, while the state of Colorado obviously hasn't been. Just saying. In fact, the state of Colorado tried to take him off the ballot.
And you know what's even funny about that is it was clearly a political thing of wanting to go to a blue state over a red state, but the county that it's in is one of the most red counties in America. So it's in an extremely Republican county, even though it's in a blue state. So it's just a mess.
It's and too bad for their luck, though. That red county needs to grow into a few other red counties and retake their state. But right now, that's a liberal bastion. That's the land of recreational weed right there.
Yeah.
James from St. Clair again says a quote on liberal women denying their bodies for sex so procreation could happen. Says, you had that power all along, my dear. That's Glinda the Good of Oz. Glinda the Good Witch. You've had that power all along, my dear. outstanding. Barry from Gunnersville says, Dale Strong's awesome. We need more leaders like him. Good stuff, man. Tammy from Huntsville says, Phil, different topic, but has anyone seen the blocks YouTube is putting on news searches? Yes, I have. And yes, I'm aware. And yes, we deal with some things ourselves. I've been blocked more than once by some of the platforms. YouTube is notorious. But I don't know if they're going to have an awakening, an epiphany, a change in business, or if they're going to finally just realize they can't keep doing that. But yeah, one of the key examples has been Joe Rogan did his podcast with Donald Trump, and then you could search YouTube and you couldn't find it. You had to go directly to Joe Rogan himself to search his own archive to get to it because it was not showing up in the searches. Am I right, JP?
Yeah, that's right. And I think YouTube will never be overthrown at its spot, but I will say I think there will be alternative sources for stuff like that, like X, for example. Now that Elon has fixed Twitter and made it into what it is, that YouTube's not the only source for that anymore. You can go to places like X and, you know, Rumble, places that won't censor you. So although YouTube won't be overthrown at the top of its game like it is, I think other alternative conservative, you know, places like X and Rumble will be, you know, so big that you don't just have to go to YouTube. And I think the independent conservative movement as a whole will become so big YouTube can't censor it. So there's that too.
No, I would agree with that. And I think they look at the election results, they might figure that out quicker.
Yeah.
But Tammy from Huntsville, part of her text did cut off, so I'm not even sure what all she was asking.
I think I got it, just going through hoops and ladders to try to find conservative stuff. So
that brings up a point, though, JP, about us reminding people what platforms we're on, and to and to follow us on those.
Yeah, if you want to go check out our YouTube page, it's Right Side Media. Go check us out and subscribe, please. You subscribing helps us out a lot in the long run of things. Also, if you want to go to Twitter or X and follow us at @RightSide_Media, following us on those platforms will help us out a ton, so make sure to go and do that.
And I will say there is another organization called the Right Side Broadcasting Network. We are not them. So when you go to YouTube, if you type in Right Side as one word, you'll get to Right Side Media. Mm-hmm. If you type in Right Side as two words, you'll probably get them. So just be aware. Our brand is always the gold star. So look for the gold star logo of Right Side Media. Follow us and subscribe to us on YouTube. We're also on Rumble.
Yep, we're on Rumble and Twitch, and we broadcast also out of the website every day as well, which I know a lot of people watch the stream, go find it from the website. But yeah, following us on our social media platforms will help us out a ton. So make sure to go ahead and do that if you have not already.
Yeah, and then a bunch of folks can follow me. I mean, a bunch of folks can also follow me personally on my personal Twitter or X account at @sen. That's S-E-N @sen Phil Williams. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, tomorrow is the day that the next edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast comes out. Came back from production last night. Everything looks good. I guess you got that scheduled to go out tomorrow. What, 11 o'clock?
11 o'clock on YouTube and the RightSideMedia.org. You can go to the Right Philosophy channel on there and find it when it's up at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Cool. Lewis from Birmingham just checked in on the text lines. He says, could Elon buy MSNBC and let Tucker and the conservatives loose? Sure he could. Put Joy Reid out there on the unemployment line. That'd be awesome.
I think his goal is to have X overthrow those. And I think he's on its way, honestly.
I think so, too. In fact, I think what we're going to find is the access that people have to the online sometimes means more than where they can turn their TV on and find MSNBC.
Yeah.
And MSNBC right now is cratering. They've lost a huge amount of followership and subscribers and advertisers since the election already is what I'm hearing. Sorry. Too bad for your luck. You wrote that check. Now you got to spend the money. Big Al from Harvest says, what's he saying here? Phil, I want to get your thoughts regarding Tom Hanks leaving the country and going to Canada. I don't think he should be able to come back for 4 years. I just hope he doesn't leave and then come back next week for a show. Thanks for what you do. I enjoy your show, Big Al. And then he says, by the way, Tom Hanks. Yeah. Okay, that was a typo. So I hadn't heard Tom Hanks. Now, I have heard Sharon Stone, who else? I mean, there's been a ton of, I think, I mean, there's several of them that I'm like, good, go. Fonda.
Let's see if they follow through on that too.
They're not going to follow through on that. If they do, they'll just go buy a vacation place with all their billions, in like, you know, Vancouver or something and then come back to do their work. I have no, you know, sense that they're really going to leave. But you can't, you know, bar them entry. If they say they want to leave, unless they go revoke their U.S. citizenship, I mean, what are we going to do to keep them out? I don't think we can pass a law, Big Al, that says don't let them come back. But anyway, Dustin from Hillsboro says, I have not been by my radio today. Did you respond to the query about national popular vote, interstate compact? No, Dustin, I did not because it's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. But thank you very much, man.
There is a text, too. I know we don't have much time left, but I'm curious your thoughts on this. And obviously, you don't live in Huntsville, so you may not have much thoughts on this. But Carol's text, something I've been wondering and curious about with the whole Space Command stuff, talking about all the jobs coming to Huntsville and like the main big jobs in Alabama coming to Huntsville and how traffic is becoming so bad and almost like the infrastructure can't keep up with the amount of job growth Huntsville's having. I know just from, I mean, I just moved away from Huntsville, but anytime I go back, there's times I'm like, you can tell the infrastructure is not able to keep up with the amount of traffic at times. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that, if Huntsville can keep up with the amount of job growth that's coming in. And I know a lot of people have come here for the FBI, but if the Space Command comes to Huntsville, I kind of start to worry about if Huntsville's going to be bursting through its seams almost and not going to be able to keep up.
Yeah, and so a couple of thoughts on that. Number one, for instance, we used to have, and I say used to because it finally shut down after literally over 100 years of operation, but the Goodyear tire plant in Gadsden was one of the biggest tire plants in the world at one point. And I did a study on it when I was in the State Senate because we were worried about it closing, and it did later. But the what I found was that there were people who came to work at Goodyear from, I want to say, from 9 different counties. And there were some that drove in all the way from Huntsville for mm-hmm. their work because they wanted to live in Huntsville, but they wanted to work at Goodyear. So the possibility of people not all living in Huntsville is certainly there.
Yeah.
Headquarters is there. Then it's going to wind up being the case that, you know, convenience is everything. And when you, you know, live an hour away from work as opposed to 10 minutes away from work, it means something. So it just depends on what they do in allowing remote work. It depends on whether or not they can open a back gate to the arsenal that other counties can access easier. There's going to be infrastructure issues like that they can do. But by and large, I think most of them are going to circulate in and around what I would call the metro area. Decatur, Madison, Harvest,
Athens, all those outlying communities are going like to benefit. Crazy.
Do what?
Athens, too, is growing like crazy.
Oh, it's, yeah. It's Athens, nuts. Absolutely. And I tell you what, I know a lot of people that live in Gunnersville and drive up. Mm-hmm. And they can live on the lake and drive up to work in the Huntsville region. Just depends on where they want to live. But I do believe that a bunch of those are going to hunker down in Madison County.
Yeah.
Wait and see. All right, man. I'll tell you what. Take it to a break, brother. We'll take it to a break. Come right back. I'm barely touching my dippers, but I got good stuff going on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right, and we will be back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, pulling pins on truth grenades in here. Hey, by the way, we got a new thing going at Right Side. Brand spanking new. Just started in the last week or so. It's called the Right Side Report, daily email blast that tells you everything that's going on at Right Side Media. Because keep in mind, Right Side Radio is what you're listening to. That's only one production of the overall company. Right Side Media has got podcasting. We've got written stuff that goes out every single week. We get published in a bunch of different newspapers around the region. And then, of course, there's Right Side Radio. We're adding new things on a regular basis, and we have some things we'll be excited to announce to you pretty soon. We're also got some new merchandise coming in if you want T-shirts, hats, that kind of stuff. All these things are available to you if you sign up for the Right Side Report. It just comes to your inbox. You can choose to read it or not, but we hope you will, and we think you will, because it'll have all the stuff in there. So if you would like to get on the Right Side Report mailing list, all you got to do is on that number you text all the time to the show, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Just text one word, newsletter. It's all one word, not separate words, newsletter. Just text that word to 833-68-RIGHT. And you will get an automatic response back, shows you how to sign up, and then next thing you know, it's dropping in your inbox every morning. Right Side Report, sign up for it. We'd love to have you on the list. It's expanding as we speak. So, all right, I'm going to jump into, technically it's Dipper number two, although we've been covering it mixed in, but the border wars. So, we just learned yesterday that former acting ICE director Tom Homan, who, I mean, I've loved his commentary. The guy is spot on. And when he gets out there, I mean, the press doesn't know what to do with him because he just stares them down with this like glacial stare and just wears them out with facts. I mean, when he dismantled AOC during a House a House committee hearing, it was epic to watch. But former acting ICE director Tom Homan is now been tapped as the border czar. What that basically means is Trump is not content on just saying, yeah, Department of Homeland Security will handle it. He wants a head cat wrangler. He wants somebody who's going to work for the DHS secretary, who's going to be Kristi Noem, by the way, who's been very engaged on border issues. But he wants Kristi Noem as secretary to have a point person for all things border. The cool thing is Tom Homan is a former Border Patrol guy himself. He spent years in law enforcement. He worked for ICE. He came up through the ranks. And he has got the backs of the people out there, but he also wants them to have the ability to do the jobs they signed up to do. Now, what we're hearing already is that morale is going through the roof. Customs and Border Patrol rank and file are apparently stoked about this. We're hearing that people who were thinking about dropping their retirement papers are now saying they're going to hold on. Other people are saying, I'm ready to sign up. People want this job to be a job that is meaningful and not just meant to process, you know, one more person into the United States, no matter what their criminal record may be. And And I look at some of what we've been dealing with the last 4 years, and I know why their morale's up. I mean, I've got a piece here from the Daily Wire. Does this make sense to you? How about this headline? Daily Wire, Dateline, 2 days ago. Nancy Pelosi, fewer illegal aliens came in under Biden than Trump. Okay, she's 84 years old. I don't think she's thinking clear anymore. Either that or she's so intent upon trying to maintain the illusion that she'll say anything. We have had over 10 million illegal aliens enter the U.S. under Biden. And the idea that fewer came in than under Trump is such a falsehood. But that's what the Customs and Border Patrol folks have been dealing with. I mean, it's absolutely asinine. But here we are. But I'll tell you this, though. We're already starting to see things happen. We're already starting to see, like, the word's out. New sheriff's coming. Things are going to be different. There's a massive 2,000-person migrant caravan that was making its way north to the Mexico border, coming up through Mexico. We already got reports it's begun to disband. And that's because people are recognizing that, geez, you may get here and they might actually send you back home. You think? Maybe that's okay. You mean I can't get in there and get a free phone and a bunch of, like, subsistence, you know, a living and stay in a former nice hotel in downtown New York City? I can't do that anymore? How about no? We're through. You mean I won't get there and get, like, bust into small town Sylacauga, Alabama and freak people out when I arrive and just stand there in the parking lot looking for work? No! How about you just stop? Well, I got more on this when we get back. The border wars, they're real. They are real. And Arizona voters, they got some things to say about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. I'm talking about this one. I do mean it when I say it. It's Alabama. Y'all, it's Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Well, let me keep this thread going. So I'm on. Technically, it's Dipper number two, but I've kind of been mixing this into all the topics we've talked about, including our conversation with Congressman Dale Strong. The border wars. I mean, the border was one of the most sought after issues for voters just nationwide. I mean, the border and the economy. It just depended on which poll you looked at. Is it number one or is it number two? But it was never not one or two. I mean, you may find the one-offs, like if all you did was, do a poll of liberal, conservative women under the age of 35, you might find abortion number two. But still, the reality is this. The border has been a strongly felt issue by the people of this country and overwhelmingly is one of the reasons why Trump got reelected. And the fact that he has already appointed Tom Homan and now Kristi Noem to be Secretary of Homeland Security clearly indicates he is not going to play around. He is going for it. I think when he said that he was going to call the president of Mexico, I bet he already has. I hope there's been a bit of a reckoning phone call. Hello, Mexico. Donald Trump here. Hope you're doing well. Yeah. Yeah. Well, look, I'm back, and things are going to be different. Oh, no, it's not going to go like that. No, I'm sorry. I'm building a freaking wall. I'm shutting down the border for a while. I don't care how much money is being wired back to, you know, households in Mexico. And, oh, by the way, there's a JDAM missile that's about to hit that drug lab in the northern province. Just saying. Have a good day. I hope that's the phone call. I don't mind if it is. Because Mexico has been complicit in the erosion of our U.S., our population, our culture, our security. Mexico has been complicit in this. And it's maybe they're not truly an enemy. They're not an enemy, and I'm not trying to say they are. But you can't sit idly by and let drug cartels run the entire northern sector of your country and not expect the people of the United States to finally go, enough with you. Now, there's a lot of talk about whether or not Trump is going to truly be able to invoke the emergency powers that could be given to him under the act that was put in place in 1786, I think it was, that was originally done, I believe, because of the Barbary Coast pirates. But what we're looking at right now is that Trump may take an archaic law and move forward under that existing law. It's still on the books. It's still good law. What it basically says is, if there is a foreign government that is encroaching upon U.S. territory or doing things that are detrimental to U.S. security, that the president has the authority to take action. Now, there are some who believe that he may just go ahead and declare a state of emergency for the southern border. I think that's a reasonable assumption that he will. I mean, you've got whole swaths of our southern border that are just as porous as Swiss cheese. And the Biden administration tried to say, well, you know, the numbers got better there towards the end. No. If they got better at all, it wasn't because of y'all. I'll tell you why they got better. You got better because of Texas. Because Texas got tired of being sued by the federal government, just finally said, screw y'all, and they're going to go ahead and do what we're going to do. And some of the things we had to undo in Texas, but you know what? For the most part, Operation Lone Star, by the governor of Texas, has been one of the key reasons why we finally began to stem the tide. But it didn't stem a thing in Arizona. Didn't stem a thing in California. It's just been unreal. Well, listen, speaking of Arizona, one of the things that I think important to recognize is just another clear indication of how much the people of this nation want a difference on our border. Is a piece I've got from townhall.com. Dateline, a couple of days ago, Arizona voters last Tuesday approved a ballot measure that could make crossing the U.S.-Mexico border illegally a state crime. A state crime. It's already a federal crime, but it's not being enforced. It says local law enforcement would then be able to make arrests and local judges could order the deportation of those convicted. It was Proposition 314, known as the Secure Border Act, similar to a Texas law that's also currently being challenged by the federal government. It cannot go into effect until the Supreme Court rules on Texas. So here's the deal. So Prop 314 in Arizona, it passed. But the similar law in Texas is currently being challenged by the Biden administration before the Supreme Court. When Trump takes office, if they decide to remove the challenge to the state law in Texas, then the law in Arizona goes into effect immediately. The yes vote was 61% on that. Y'all, 61% at the polls is massive. I could challenge people to vote for whether or not you love your mama, and you might not get 61%. But 61% on this ballot measure is a clear indication the people of Arizona have had it. But it's not just Arizona. Let's look north. How about New York City? New York City! Yes, indeed. New York Post has got a piece. Came out a few days ago. Apparently, Mayor Eric Adams has decided to make some changes. Really? Yes, he has. So Mayor Eric Adams is ending his administration's controversial program supplying migrants and city shelters with prepaid debit cards to buy groceries. I mean, why would they not come here? Free stuff! Everybody gets an Obama phone, you know? The pilot program distributed the preloaded MasterCards to asylum seekers at hotels turned shelters. A family of four would get $350 a week. A week? A week? Y'all, please. That's, what? Good Lord. That's what, 14, is that $1,400 a month we're talking about? Did I just add that up right? Three times, yeah. Good Lord. $1,400 a month to cover the cost of groceries and baby supplies. The city hired a New Jersey-based tech startup called Mobility Capital Finance with a $53 million one-year emergency contract to hand out these debit cards. You got to know there was some waste, fraud, and abuse in that one, just saying. No telling how many of those cards wound up in the hands of people that didn't, you know, otherwise qualify. But the fact that anybody qualified, I mean, just move to New York City, say, I'm here. I'm illegal, sure. Here's $1,400, go buy some groceries. Okay. But the year's up, and the Adams administration, Mayor Adams, has said they're not doing it anymore. He said, as we move towards more competitive contracting for asylum seeker programs, we have chosen not to renew the emergency contract for this pilot program once the one-year term concludes. What that also tells me is they're about tapped out. We're talking New York City, crossroads of the world. We're talking the Big Apple. This is one of the richest and largest cities in the world. And they're done. They can't keep spending the money on this. Just can't do it. I had a piece here. Oh, I know what it was. It was on, I saw it earlier on Twitter, and I probably won't be able to get back to it now. But Tom Homan, he came out earlier, and he said something I thought was profound. And you can just imagine what kind of guy he's going to be. But Tom Homan is literally saying that the Biden administration is going, not the Biden, the Trump administration is going to use U.S. special operations against drug cartels as needed. Now, I don't know how many of y'all saw a movie that came out some years ago called Act of Valor. Did you ever see that, JP?
No, I don't believe I have. No.
All right. It's interesting. I tell you what. Let me just look it up. Make sure I'm quoting the name correctly. I think it was Act of Valor. Let's see. Act of Valor. Yep, that's it. Act of Valor. So Act of Valor was a movie about Navy SEALs going into Mexico to stop a drug cartel. The interesting piece is most of the characters in the movie were actual active duty Navy SEALs who don't even use their real names in the credits because they wanted, the producer wanted somebody. Now the acting was horrible. I'm just going to be honest. Some of the acting in it was just like, okay, you're a really good SEAL, but you're a really bad actor. But, yeah. but I'll say this, the action scenes, oh, wow. But the whole movie theme was about a drug cartel trying to, transport massive amounts of weapons and weapons of mass destruction and terrorists and drugs into our country through tunnels and everything else. And so they went south into Mexico and took care of things. By the way, JP, your homework assignment now is you have to watch Act of Valor.
Sit through the bad acting.
It's not. Listen, the bad acting parts are few enough and far between to where you can enjoy the rest of the movie. But
yeah,
and by the way, there's a couple of scenes in there that if you have surround sound, it's absolutely 100% required watching with surround sound. It is unbelievable. That being said, I'm all for the idea that military force be used to stop drug cartels.
Well,
I'm
tired of them being scared of the cartels, because I know I saw I believe it was Ben Shapiro talking about his trip to the border while he was walking around with Border Patrol. A drone came over and sat over him for a minute and then flew back, and then Shapiro was like, oh, is that one of ours? It's like, nope, that's the cartels. It's like, well, why don't y'all shoot it? It's like, well, anytime we have to engage with a drone, we have to call the DHS secretary and get approval before doing anything like that.
Oh,
because they don't want it to be considered an act of war against the cartel. But like that,
I got news. They flew a drone into our country.
That's an act of war. And it's if Mexico was blatantly sending in fentanyl into the country and killing, or not just sending in fentanyl, if they were launching missiles and killing, the amount of people they're killing with fentanyl, we will consider that an act of war. But instead, they're sending it in through the port of entry with fentanyl, and we don't consider that an act of war. And it's like we're scared of them. So I would just like some firmness and stop being, stop kowtowing to the cartel. Let them get away with whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and let's talk about this a little bit further. So people may look at it and go, Phil, you can't declare war on Mexico. I didn't say that. I didn't say declare a war on Mexico. But I will say this. We are knocking out ISIS targets to this day in Syria, and we've not declared war on Syria. We have been knocking out ISIS once again, and then ISIS-K in northern Iraq, and we're not at war with Iraq. We have been assisting Israel with what it needs to be able to take the fight to Hamas in Lebanon, but we have not declared war on Lebanon. So I would say that what you may wind up seeing, and this is it is right now. It is 4:47 p.m. on the 12th of November. I'm going to predict that Trump is considering and may very well declare a state of emergency and put drug cartels on the terrorist watch list, meaning that they are now considered non-state actors for terrorism, meaning that they can be strikable targets. What do you think?
I think that would be phenomenal, and it's just like you said, it's not going to war with Mexico. It's an independent group within Mexico's borders that is actively waging a war against the United States. So it needs to be dealt with, and I think the comparison to Israel against Hamas and Hezbollah is a great example. We're not declaring war on Mexico. We're declaring war on this rogue group within Mexico that has nobody's checked them, and they're getting away with whatever they want. And enough's enough.
And they're making
eventually.
Billions doing it.
Yes, exactly. Enough is enough eventually. And not just the cartels, but China's using the cartels too. You know, it's not just the cartels independently. So it's got to be dealt with immediately.
Well, and the storyline from that movie, Act of Valor, literally dealt with terrorists lining themselves up with drug cartels because that was their entree into the United States.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, I cannot believe it's time for a break, but it is. So take a break there, JP. We'll do that. We'll take the last break of the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. It's been a good one. It's been a good day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. Listen, we got plenty of text messages. Let me get a couple, and then I'm going to the phones before I run out of time. Lee from Huntsville texts in and says, is it possible to drone the cartels without advance notice to the Mexican government? Any way for it not to be an act of war? We need to end this fentanyl trade. Yeah, I mean, I think the any way for it not to be an act of war is, like I said, you declare the cartel itself as a non-nation state terror organization, and then you J-damn them. I'm just saying. John from Huntsville, Alabama says, JP and his dad both get an A double plus for their equally awesome performances. Today's winner is obviously Phil with an A triple plus for his magnificent Taco Tuesday performance. Congratulations, by the way. Phil, I had some delicious grilled meatloaf smothered in gravy, mushrooms, and onions yesterday. Man, John just wearing me out with the food.
It's a great way to celebrate Meatloaf Monday.
I know. Paul from Decatur says, hey, Colonel Paul in Decatur. The movie Act of Valor sounds like in the 80s with some local guys in Alabama's involvement in Central America. Shh, we don't talk about that, Paul. That's not a thing. That never happened. That wasn't nothing. Just saying. Nobody made us turn in our field gear. No, that didn't happen. All right, so let me go to the phones real quick. Jeff Rowe from Indiana is on the line. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Doing real good. Happy belated Veterans Day. Thank you for your service then and more so for your services now.
Well, thank you, my friend. I appreciate you muchly. What's on your mind today, man? What you thinking about today's show?
Oh, man. You talk about these people with mental problems, you know, and everything. Is there any way we can have the Democrats declared mentally incompetent and can't vote or can't hold office?
You want to red flag them? Red flag laws for voting.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's more dangerous than any firearm. This country's took such a blow in the last 4 years. Here, it's pathetic.
Here's a red flag law for voting: if you shaved your head and swore off sex for 4 years and wore a blue bracelet and said that was your protest, you might need a red flag.
Well, you know what? These women and everything—it's basically what I call the modern Passover. Because if you see somebody that looks like that, just pass them on by.
Just pass them right on just over.
Like, just like the angels did back then.
I would say that's pretty much a given at this point. I mean, there. But, you know, you look at it and think, okay, what is people, listen, find something. And I get it. Now, I would have been very upset had Trump not won the election. I would have. And then I would have gotten up the next day and gone to work and done what I had to do. And truthfully, it probably would have given me 4 years of fodder for this radio show. But that being said, the idea that I would have ever just shut down and demanded that people pay attention to my grievances, I'd like to believe I never would have acted like that.
We'd have probably... I don't think this country could have stood another 4 years, especially if someone even crazier than Biden. So it'd have been bad. But you know what I'd love to see though was in the news today. you know, Judge Merchan has postponed his thing against Trump.
Yeah.
I pray that he would go ahead and sentence him to prison. I really do, because that way he would have to.
30 seconds to tell me why.
He would have to enter the witness protection program because he would be a very wanted man. He would find out what it looks like whenever conservatives come out against the judge instead of
it would not have gone well, man. I really think that he may be at the point he's going to dismiss the case overall. But hey, brother, I'm up against it, man. You be safe, and we appreciate you, and I will talk to you again probably tomorrow.
Have a good one, Phil.
All right, we'll see you. Jeff Rowe from Indiana. All right, listen, great show. And JP, when the music starts, just tell me. But the reality
is...
What's
going on now?
Oh, is it going on now? Okay. The reality is, y'all, we do this because of you guys. Y'all are an amazing audience. And we have amazing times in which we live, and I am thankful. But like I said before, now the work really begins. But don't forget, there's more of us, and we proved it. More of us than there are of them. God is still on his throne. Y'all stay in the fight. We'll see you tomorrow.